Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
You might have heard of the co-parenting app, Our Family Wizard, but are you aware of what makes this popular app a go-to solution for over 1 million parents and family law practitioners, including myself?
It's the way that Our Family Wizard helps co-parents organize their calendars, expenses, and messages. No more back and forth texting with your ex over who's paying for your kid to give Kaylee, Kyle, Kaden, or whoever a birthday party gift.
That's right, because Our Family Wizard can organize monthly expenses, everything from medical bills to birthday party gifts, and help you send effective and productive messages without the snark. In fact, Our Family Wizard even has a tone meter, a built-in snark detector that will help you tone down your messages.
And although snark can be really fun, it's really expensive and damaging to your mental health and your kids. So save the snark for happy hour with your friends and save the money for the birthday party presents and check out Our Family Wizard.
Our Family Wizard, making co-parenting easier.
There's all different levels of messy divorce to fairly amicable divorce.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Well, it is time for every divorce person's favorite topic, trauma.
How's that for a sexy and exciting intro?
I know. Seriously, I hooked you, didn't I? I hooked all of you. You guys, here's the thing. Getting divorced can be wildly traumatizing. And for a lot of people, it's the marriage that we really need to heal from, not to mention the shit that we endured in our childhood, because we survived a major event like a divorce or whatever it is. A lot of these past traumatic experiences that we've had tend to kind of bubble to the surface because we've been, wait for it, triggered. So all of these events come back for an encore performance and we feel haunted and triggered and completely messed up. So how do we move through this trauma? Well, here to discuss that very topic is trauma therapist Lauren Auer. Lauren, welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce. I'm going to tell everybody about all the amazing things that you do because you are quite certified, my friend. So our guest is certified in EMDR brain spotting, which I have no idea what that is, and I want to know all about it, and somatic regulation. Now, not to trigger you, Morgan, because I know the somatic healing episode we have almost sent you, almost sent you off the road.
Off the rails.
Off the rails. It was way too much for Morgan, but we digress. Lauren, hey, it's so nice to see you, and welcome to How Not to Suck a Divorce.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so Lauren, the clients whom you've seen who have survived and left some pretty horrible marriages, what are some of the symptoms of the trauma that you actually see from this?
You know, I feel like this is one of the most complicated, complex questions that I could be asked because it looks so different for everybody. You know, I think that people cope in such a variety of ways for a variety of reasons. And, you know, sometimes the most traumatized people that I work with are the ones that are coping by, you know, working really hard or being perfectionistic or really high achieving or whatever. So like outwardly, they may look like they're just thriving, you know, but that there's a function there because that's their way of coping with their trauma. So, you know, I think in terms of more generally speaking, it's anything that is too much, too long, or not enough on an intense level. So if there's anything that is really impeding with their ability to stay regulated in their life, then, you know, that is often a sure-tell sign of trauma.
Can you give us some examples of what trauma could be? Like, I mean, I know for those of you who speak the therapy language, we've got the big T's and the little T's, but can you give everybody some examples of a traumatic event?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, this is another thing that when I think of trauma, I don't necessarily think of like a list of events, negative events, but rather how the person experiences that event. And what I mean by that is, you know, for instance, if two people were driving in a car, got in a car accident, and, you know, they both were able to walk away, damaged the car, but, you know, they were ultimately fine. It could be very well possible that one of those people is completely traumatized, meaning maybe they're really panicky about driving, they're really shaken, they just feel completely overwhelmed by the situation, maybe memories of the situation, they don't want to get in a car, and the other person could walk away feeling essentially okay, you know, grateful that they're all right. And so those two people experience the exact same event, but how they experienced the event is very different. So I think that's a really important thing for people to keep in mind too, especially when it comes to things like divorce, you know, because there's, you know, all different levels of messy divorce to fairly amicable divorce, but that doesn't necessarily mean somebody who has had a milder divorce situation necessarily isn't going to be traumatized by some of the experiences that they had, and vice versa. Sometimes there's people that, you know, maybe go through a pretty, what us on the outside might say, wow, that's really traumatic, but they are able to move through it at kind of a surprising rate. So I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I think that, yes, it does, because I just wanted to give people who aren't so familiar with this topic a little bit of a frame of reference of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's important to mention that we have a very healthy listenership of women and men who have had some pretty nasty divorces or who are contemplating embarking on what they're preparing to be a nasty divorce, or they're in the middle of it. So they're in the thick of this right now. And that's actually when I first saw you on Instagram, and that's how I found you, was, you know, going through reels, and you had a reel that popped out to me. I thought the way that you offer people these tools and these little tips and tricks. Now, I don't want to say quick fixes because it's not, There's no quick fix to this stuff, but you offer these exercises that people can do when they are really feeling it. So there's one in particular that I would love for you just to kind of talk through for everybody, just so they can kind of, we can kind of start talking about these exercises. The one that's coming to my mind is one that you did recently where you're following your finger as you move your finger from side to side. And then there's also the highlighter one that you did that went like mega viral. But can you talk through the finger side to side and what that does?
Sure. Yeah. So basically that reel is just talking about if you hold a finger out in front of your face, it doesn't really matter, like a foot or so, and just move it all the way to the end of your peripheral, like vision, to where you can't see it, your finger anymore, without moving your head. So your eyes are like as far to the left or right, whichever way you go, as they can. And then once you get there, then moving your head all the way as far as your head can go while still looking at your finger, and then kind of going back and then doing it all the way on the other side. So it's just like, you know,
For those of you who can't see us right now, we're doing it.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I think you kind of have to see, but it's really just basically, if you imagine just moving your eyes all the way, let's say to the left, as far as they can go. And then once they're there, then moving your head all the way to the left, as far as it can go.
Like,
and then
I've
kind
processed
of repeating all the way to the right. And so
step one is the eyes following the finger. And then after the eyes have followed, then the head follows, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And then the same. Okay, so now what does this do for us besides make us cross-eyed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it is in just, it's a focused act, you know, like you have to, because there are those steps involved, you have to be focusing on what you're doing, and that disrupts anything that might be like, if your thoughts are spinning out or you're thinking of all these what ifs or terrible things, you know, it does dampen your, what's going on in your prefrontal cortex, which is like the thinking logical part of your brain, because you're focused more on that motion. So that's part of it, but it's also activating, you know, the nerves within your nervous system, the vagus nerve too. And that's actually what is involved in your body, throughout your entire body, to calm down any sort of like higher anxiety activation, that sort of thing that's going on in your body. So it's has a physical kind of soothing, bodily soothing result within it.
Would this be an exercise that you would recommend? Like, say Morgan, for example, has a client that's about to walk into mediation, mm-hmm. and they are really nervous, they're really amped up. Let's say that they're going into mediation with someone who's known to be abusive or whatever, and they are like, I don't know that I can do this. Mm-hmm. Is this a trick that they could do right before they go in that might offer them mm-hmm. some
totally it's kind of on the same line. You know, we hear a lot about like taking deep breaths and like breath work and stuff, which is amazing, but I think with that it's a little more abstract. Like, you kind of have to learn how to breathe in the way that can be soothing, whereas this is so straightforward. Like, it's like step one, move your eyes, step two, move your head, you know, like it's, you don't have to, like, it's kind of like stupid proof in that way of just, mm-hmm. okay, like, you know, it's very simple to do than to, you know, be going through some deeper meditation type thing. And yeah, it's very quick. Sometimes I do it like in my car at a stoplight or something, if I'm just feeling like a little bit, I don't know, whatever it is that day.
Okay. I got to ask you, has anyone ever looked over at you while you're doing this? Cause that may look insane.
I don't care. Hopefully they'll be like, what is she doing? I'm going to try that too.
That lady looks insane.
Especially now that we've like legalized marijuana here in Illinois, uh-huh. and that they're like, oh, that girl's tripping. That girl really likes her finger.
I just look really zen though, so maybe.
You might. Hey, it works. Wait, speaking of zen, mm-hmm. Morgan, you were asking me something that you wanted to talk to Lauren about, dopamine and fake dopamine.
I did, but I want to go back to some highlighter pen reel that went viral that I don't know about.
Yeah.
So tell us about that, because I'm not up to speed on that viral video.
Yeah. This one was like mega viral.
It's so weird how the algorithm works. Like, I have no, I mean, it's a really cool technique, but like, and I'm so glad it blew up because I've had so many people say like, oh my gosh, like this just works so well. And oh, wow. I can't believe I just did that. And I actually feel way more calm, you know, all of like so many comments like that. And of course there are people that are like, this doesn't work, but you know, you're always gonna have those. But yeah, so it's a video that kind of a similar easy technique as the last one. And that this technique with the highlighter specifically is based off of a technique that I learned through the brain spotting trainings that I did. And so basically the video just shows me like holding, I'm using a highlighter in the video. You can literally use anything. It doesn't even have to be holding something up. Like my cup is sitting on this desk. Like I could just look at my cup. So it's basically just holding or focusing on an object that is fairly close to you. Okay. And then like whatever that is. So if I'm focusing on this highlighter and then I'm going to like move my eyes beyond that at the wall as far away as I can beyond that, and then back to the highlighter and then back beyond it and then back to the highlighter and then back beyond it and just going back and forth. What it does is it activates. It activates again, kind of like that nervous system reaction to like slow your heart rate, regulate your breathing. And
are you meant to sync up your inhale and exhales with when you look at the object and then you look at the wall, or does that not really matter?
I think sometimes that happens naturally, but like, okay, you don't even have to really think about it. It's just like focusing on what you're looking at in front of you and then beyond that, far away, and then in front of you and then far away. And sometimes I think some of the comments on that video that were like, this didn't do anything, it's because people were trying it when they're already regulated. And it's like, you know, like, right, you can't really tell
is
that
the
much.
Point, but is the point of this to basically distract, to get you to focus on something different so you can re-regulate? Is that the point?
I mean, that is part of it, but really it's more of like the physiological, it's getting you, it's activating the other parts of your brain that are more connected within your nervous system and the oculocardia reflex, which is part of that calming technique. And it just literally like lowers your blood pressure and your activation in your body.
Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, like, I got so many comments on that video. I didn't even know that people were saying like, oh, I'm a labor and delivery nurse and we teach this in Lamaze, or somebody saying like, I don't know, teach whatever it is, marksmanship. And that's one thing they use in marksmanship to like really calm the body down before shooting, you know, like, so there's all these different, and then tons of people saying, oh my gosh, I've done this myself just naturally since I was a kid. Like, so many people saying that they just automatically have been doing this their whole life. And I'm like, yeah, like our bodies just like, no, our regular.
So. Okay. So we talk a lot on this show about trying just to be happy, as happy as you can be. We know that some days are really tough, and that kind of leads us into this trauma. We know that some hours are tougher than others. And, you know, one thing that I saw on your Instagram feed that kind of drew me into you, because, you know, we talked to a lot of therapists, but you really kind of stood out. You had this one post that spoke to me about fake dopamine and real dopamine. And in my mind, I think it's a big problem in all of, you know, I've been doing a lot of research on dopamine with children and also us being online at all times and what it's doing to our brains. And so I'm really interested. You did this whole post about real versus fake dopamine and what the pros and cons are. And I want you to speak to our listeners about that because I think it's important.
Yeah. I mean, well, the dopamine reaction that you get in your body is just those like pleasure kind of chemicals. And so, you know, those can look a lot of different ways, and you can have store-bought dopamine and that you have an antidepressant or something, which store-bought is fine, like no shame there. But, you know, there are ways to get real, actual pleasure dopamine chemicals. And there are ways that can have harmful effects, like being on your phone all the time. And there are ways that can be really good, like going on a walk every day, you know? And so that's, there's so much of that, obviously that's within our own control and within our own choices of how, like what we're taking in, how much time we're spending on things, like what we're doing and how much that impacts how we're feeling every day. It's huge. It's so important to keep in mind.
It's so huge. Can you give us some examples of real dopamine versus fake dopamine so that when our listeners are like, oh, I'm having the worst day ever, instead of whipping out their phone and looking at Instagram, although we want you to come to our page and like it, you might want to do something else that gets you real dopamine. So give us some examples of the good and the bad dopamine.
Yeah. Well, the bad, like you just gave a great example with social media. And I also like to say with anything like this, that I am very vocal about not, like, I don't shame anything that is quote negative, anything. I mean, there is a reason for that. If somebody is feeling really overwhelmed and stressed and they're just like scrolling on their phone all afternoon, like there is a function there. Like they are needing on some level an escape, or they're it's working. It might not be the best, most healthy way to handle that, but it's better sometimes than doing nothing for their, you know, their mental health. And the hope is that they can get to a point where they are healthy enough to choose, you know, real dopamine, to choose, for some examples, you know, going on a walk, moving their body, connecting with a friend, you know, reading a book, learning something new, volunteering, giving back. All of those things are really just have very few negative consequences to them.
As a therapist, what do you do to access some real dopamine when you need a dopamine fix? Who's your dealer?
Who's your dopamine dealer? The healthy ones or the unhealthy ones?
Girl, I want to know both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all humans at the end of the day, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, you know, I've got my Monday bachelor ritual. That's dopamine there, right? You know? And I don't know, is that unhealthy? Is it healthy? Who knows? But if it's, it brings me a level of joy, it's something that I can get invested in. And, you know, so I think there's different levels within that. Also, just, I always make sure to have connection with my community, friends, family. I do a lot of walk and talk therapy with people because my office backs up to like a big outdoor park. So getting outside, moving, yeah, that kind of thing is really important for me.
We love walking and talking, like, don't we, Andrea?
Mm-hmm.
We are pro walking here. We actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, Lauren, because one of the things that Morgan has mentioned several times on our show is that if she's got a client, I mean, Morgan, you should tell, like what you do with clients who like need to take
a break. Oh, yeah. So, you know, obviously you're talking about it right now. They get really amped up. Something triggers them and they, you know, lose it, or they're just so overwhelmed that they just cannot make a decision. And a good lawyer should be able to spot that. And a lot of times what I say is, all right, we're just stopping right now. We're going to go out. If I'm with them, I go out with them and I take a walk for about 20 minutes just so that they calm down. I think that's the key time period that it takes you to kind of come back down to earth to be able to make those good decisions for yourself. And if it's, if we're not together, I say, why don't you go take a walk around the block, call me in 20, 25 minutes, and let's like reconvene if it's a good time then. Most of the time people can get it back together in about 20 minutes. That's my understanding of what I've seen. Some days are just bad days and it's okay. And if it's a bad day, sometimes I just say, you know what? It's not a day for us to talk about this. We'll talk about it tomorrow, or a day that's better. And so that's kind of how we always joke. But Andrea and I always joke that we like to walk and we talk walk and wine. That's what we do.
Walk and wine. Wine and walk, baby. You know, I want to bring it back to the trauma talk for a second, because I speak pretty openly on this show and on my an Instagram platform about the trauma that I've experienced. And I think what's so challenging about people who are going through the divorce process, when these traumatic events kind of bust their way back in for this encore performance, is that they don't come at like opportune times, right? It's not like when you've got nothing going on. Something happens. Like maybe you are faced with a decision that you have to make, right? And you feel like there's pressure, the clock is ticking. And that's when all of a sudden you're like, I feel like I'm falling apart. Like, oh my God. And it just compounds everything. Or you're like me and it hits me always at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm always waking up from, you know, sleeping with boom. I am smack dab in the middle of a panic attack and it's awful. And so I want to be able, I know that there are things that we can do when we're in the moment, but I want to talk about things that we can do preemptively to try to mitigate these massive, you know, attacks as much as possible. So I'm wondering, you mentioned brain spotting before. Does that fall into the category of something that people can do to kind of help themselves so that they're not falling the fuck apart all the time?
Yeah. So brain spotting is... it's hard. It's one of those things that's kind of hard to explain. I always tell people it's like, if you've never seen a bike, you've never ridden a bike, and you ask me to explain to you how to ride a bike, I could try, right? But like, until you like see it and do it, like it makes a lot more sense. But basically it's what's happening, like in what you're just describing there, is that like, if somebody is finding themselves feeling really flooded over something, or like there's all this stuff compounded, or maybe they logically know, you know, all of the things of this is the right decision, or this will likely go the way that I want it to, or whatever the case may be. But then even though if they logically know that, that doesn't just like turn off the emotions around it. So a lot of times people come to me in therapy and maybe they've done just kind of standard like talk therapy for a long time. And they're finding themselves feeling stuck. So it's like those same things of, you know, part of me, like, I know I should be over this by now, but I'm not, or yes. I don't know what it is, but every time my ex does blah, 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 I just get so amped up and like, I just can't help it. I'm stuck there. I just don't want to react that way, or whatever it is. It's like, whatever that stuckness is, you know, what's going on there is people are trying to use their rational brain to like talk themselves out of feeling whatever it is they're feeling or reacting in whatever way it is that they're reacting. But when they've experienced really difficult, traumatic things, they weren't using their prefrontal cortex in those moments. When you experience something really overwhelming, really stressful, really shocking, really whatever, you know, you're using the parts of your brain that are more like in that hindbrain, that like fight, flight, freeze, fawn part,
sure,
that like instinct part of your brain. I talk about, like, to use an example, I don't know if you've ever been driving and like you need to slam on the brakes because the light turns or the person in front of you, and you put that like phantom arm out in the seat next to you.
Just, oh yeah.
Like all the nothing time that is there. But it's like, there's that automatic, like it's not logical, but like your body is automatically going into that stance of like
the racing. Mom saves.
Yeah. And that's kind of the same thing with a lot of like really overwhelming traumatic experiences, is we're not logically like, this is how I'm thinking through this process right now in this moment. But there's the automatic stuff comes up, the overwhelming emotion that comes up before we're able to form logical thought. Okay. So when you do talk therapy, there's a lot of good with that and it can be really effective. However, it's almost like you're talking a different language than what the trauma actually is, you know, and that's how people get stuck. And so these go ahead.
No. I just want to let everyone know that we're going to get to something where we're actually going to kind of show everyone what we're talking about, to kind of give them a little nugget of what this is in case this is something that they feel like could really help them.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I love that you guys are doing that and you're willing to be a guinea pig. Cause like I said, it's just one of those things. It's hard to explain because it sounds so odd. It sounds kind of woo-woo, but it's actually a lot of like brain science stuff happening too, that, you know, it's really interesting when people can do these types of therapy techniques and it kind of forces them to get out of that like rational, trying to logical brain that they get stuck in, and they just let their stuff get processed, it's like that activation, that automatic stuff that's coming up might still come up. It's not going to not be distressing, right? It's not like those memories are like happy now, but like they're just not at that level of I can't regulate, I can't do anything, I'm so reactive right now, or I'm so shut down right now, or whatever. It's like it like takes like the pressure out of it to where they can move through it a lot more easily.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm just waiting. I can't wait.
Okay.
Let's do this. Set us up. And then for so friends who are just listening to the show, I want you to know that this is the video of this is also going to be on our YouTube channel, and we'll have a link to that so you can actually see what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Andrea, you're going to be my guinea pig, right?
Yeah. Morgan, do you want to do it too?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, I can only do one person at a time.
Okay. It's all Andrea.
Oh, okay.
All Andrea. Okay. I'll be watching.
Okay. Morgan, will you tell people what's going on for those? Okay.
Okay. So, Andrea, what I want you to do is I want you to think of something kind of like what I just described in your current life that...
Got it.
You got one?
Got it. Okay. Didn't take long, did it?
What do you got? What is it?
Oh, now you got to share it. Welcome.
Morgan, you're up. All of a sudden my mic goes mute, my camera goes off, never to be seen
again.
Your
face was classic.
What was it? I have to be specific?
You don't have to be super specific, but if it's like I always get like really anxious in a certain situation and I wish I didn't.
Okay. I get easily triggered by aggressive and manipulative attempts, like conversations from somebody. I get it easily rattles me.
Okay. Can you think of a time more recently? You don't have to tell me about it, but can you like bring to your mind a time more recently that you felt that way?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it happened today.
Okay. So today when that was happening, what were you like physically experiencing in your body?
I felt it in my chest. It feels like a tightness with also a tingling that's like a bad tingle. If almost it's like tingle that feels like tiny needles going on my arms. And then I also get, I'm a super, super emotional person. So I get like an immediate lump in my throat that's almost like, I feel like that's my body's way of telling me that I'm being messed with.
Okay. All right. So this is what I'm going to do. So I have this pointer.
Okay. That looks scary.
Is this gonna hurt?
It's a very long like thing that extends. It looks like I don't even know.
It can extend.
If this is followed by cold touch and here's some warm jelly, I'm out of here.
I promise it's not.
I am not moderating that. I am not.
Is there a clamp? Okay, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm serious.
Okay.
Brain spot.
Back to trauma.
So all I'm going to have you do, kind of like what we were talking about initially when I was talking about following your finger to the side and then moving your head, it's similar to that. So I am going to have you think of that thing today that was happening, thinking about, you know, you can be playing that scene out in your head, or you can even be thinking about other things that were more similar to that or whatever, and noticing the body sensations, okay? And while you're doing that, I'm going to start moving this pointer slowly across this like horizontal axis. So I kind of scooted back so there was more space on the camera. And all you're going to do is follow it with your eyes as I'm moving it. It'll be slower than this. And notice anywhere on that plane where that feeling is more intense.
Okay.
And sometimes for people, it's super obvious. They're like right there. That's the right there. And other times it's more subtle, but I can always tell.
Okay.
And so once we do that, once we find that spot, then I'm going to then move it like up and down from that again, doing the same thing. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds really weird.
Yes, it definitely does.
It sounds really weird, but it's based on, again, talking about the nervous system, your brain, where you look affects how you feel. So as I'm talking, as you guys are talking, if anybody's watching this on the video, you can tell, like, people move their eyes around a lot when they're talking. They look up, they look to the left, they look down. There's a reason for that, you know, and that's all part of processing. So once we find that spot, though, I'm just going to leave the pointer there in that spot. And all you're going to do is look in that direction. And again, think about those thoughts, the memories, the whatever, the feelings in your body, all of that. And you're just going to notice whatever happens. Okay.
Okay.
Some people are super chatty. They're telling me, oh, and I just thought of this and here, and now I'm thinking of that and this and that. And that's fine. Some people are very quiet. I've had full sessions where somebody doesn't speak at all. It's totally fine. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's going to make for a great podcast.
Yeah. Right. But it is.
Our numbers are going to plummet.
Right. But I'm not going to say a lot. Okay. I might say a little bit, but I'm not going to say a lot. And so this is just kind of like a condensed version. Usually when I do this, I can let it go. Like, I mean, for quite a while, but
okay.
This is more just to
get sure.
an idea. Do you have any questions about that?
I'm excited.
No, I'm regretting. I'm regretting the fact that I volunteered, but let's do this.
Okay. I'm going to put my highlighter cap on this so that you can see it better.
Oh, perfect.
If okay. you could just extend it okay. a little bit, just make it longer, that would just mm-hmm. be, oh, wow. Yes. Looks like a wand. Everybody, since I'm the narrator, it looks like a giant wand with a yellow highlighter cap in the end.
She looks like she's about to conduct like a high school band.
She's a wizard.
Maestro, she's a wizard. All right, here we go.
Such a wizard. Okay, so yep, bring up that memory from today or something similar. Notice those, the chest feel, the tingleys that you were telling me about. And once you kind of have it, let me know and I'm going to start moving it very slowly.
I have it.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so she's moving her wizard wand to the left slowly. Andrea is following it slowly. Andrea is still following it. It almost looks like she's a little zoned. Something's bothering Andrea by her face. Lips are moving a little bit. The wand is almost over to the one side completely.
Do you think it was more intense on either this side or that side?
The left side. This side.
The side that it's on now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you do notice it being more intense over here? Okay. I'm going to move it kind of like back and forth in this area just to hone that in, okay?
Okay, so we're still in the same area that Andrea is referencing is really intense, and she's just kind of moving it back and forth in a smaller area over by the left side of her.
Does it get better or worse as I move it this way?
Better.
So it's worse over here?
Yep.
Okay. Right, I'm going to move it up and down from here just to see what that's like, okay? Is that better or worse?
Worse.
Mm-hmm, I can tell. All the way up here? Or a little bit down.
Highlighter is close to the sky or the ceiling. Now it's coming down.
It's more intense the higher up that it is. And I can feel that when my eyes like stretch up, I feel more intense sensations, more intense.
The feeling. Wand is elongating.
Okay. And so sometimes too with virtual, because this is about the limits of the virtual screen. So we can keep it here if wherever you are in your setting, if it helps to find a spot in your room that goes beyond that, where that's even more intense, it's whatever you choose.
Andrea is looking up to the sky currently, trying to find a place, looks like up on the ceiling. Yeah.
The higher up I look, the more intense emotions I feel.
Okay. Is there a spot in the room that you're in that you could focus on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just want you then to kind of focus on that area and think about that feeling, think about that memory today or whatever comes up. Just notice in your body. Again, you're welcome to talk about it. You don't have to though.
Okay. Whoa. This is uncomfortable. Yeah, this is very uncomfortable. I want to be able to share, but just for reasons of not getting sued. We're not going to share.
Yeah, you don't have to. What are you, when you say it's more intense, like what do you notice different in your body than when we first started?
The lump in my throat is more intense.
Mm, yeah.
Damn you and your magic wand.
That is sheer wizardry over there.
I know.
Sorcery, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right now, if anybody's watching too, because she is, she'll look up there and then she'll look down. She's got tears and that's okay. That's actually like her body is wanting to not be in that intense area for such a long time. And it's okay if she looks away from it and kind of lets herself process it. It's fine.
So Lauren, I'm wondering what is going on. Can you help us kind of understand what is happening here?
Yeah, me too.
I'm all sorts of confused over here.
No, it's, I told you, it's like riding a bike, right? Like I could explain it to you, but you just have to see it. So right now, like I said, where you look affects how you feel. You know, there, for whatever reason, that spot to her makes those feelings more intense because she's getting out of her logical brain. She's not, I didn't have her, you know, in talk therapy, you might say, think about that experience. Like, let's think about what were you feeling in that moment? And like, let's talk through it, right? But right now we're just in the hind brain, that fight, flight, freeze, fawn. So I don't know if that is like a, you know, it could be a lot of things. If that's kind of like a freeze feeling that's coming up, if it's a fight feeling, like I just want to run away from this, I don't like this, if it's a, you know, whatever it is, but it's basically connecting whatever that experience is that she has that feels really triggering to the parts of her body that's holding on to that to protect her in those situations, to put up those extra big defenses. And it's helping kind of like her brain process through and release some of that stuckness there, which is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
Right. It's uncomfortable even to watch. So I think our listeners are probably like, hey, this sounds really nuts. And who wants to be in this position of looking at the ceiling and crying? So, but
you're... Andrew, what are you feeling right now?
Well, you know, Morgan, I think that what's interesting is that you do experience a form, a version of a release.
That's what I was wondering. Once. Yep.
Yeah. And I can tell you what's so weird is that, to Lauren's point, I wanted to break my focus away from that spot in my closet because it, the sensation, the feelings got so big that I wanted to break from it. And so it is weird, like how, and as soon as she moved her magic wand over there, it was like even the very first time she did it, when I was just following back and forth, I'm like, why am I more like that lump in my throat that I described that I get? I noticed it the very first time, felt bigger when she moved it to my left. And I'm like, that's weird. And I thought at first it was just me thinking about it more. I'm like, no. And then when she went higher up to the ceiling, I'm like, I started to get kind of panicky because I'm like, oh my God. Like I was thinking that when we did this exercise, like full transparency, when we prepped this episode, I thought, am I going to have to like fake it? Or like be like, oh yeah, that worked. You know, like, because I didn't know. And now I'm like, shit, now I'm crying and it's uncomfortable. But it's weird how it made me think about how when I get really upset, and especially when I have a panic attack, I feel like naturally I tend to look up a lot.
Yep, there's a reason.
Like
for
I
that.
Think, uh-huh. Yeah, like my eyes will go up into a corner when I'm upset. And what's really fucked up is that I notice that with my younger son too, who's a lot like me. Like when he starts to cry, his eyes look up. Like Morgan, have you ever noticed like the patterns like with your kids, like when they get upset, what their eyes do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
It is. It's so interesting.
Like some kids look down before their eyes well up with tears. my little one, his eye, he'll always like look up to the corner, and it's the saddest thing because you could see his eyeballs start to, yeah.
But let me ask you this, because I'm probably this, you know, I love therapy, but I haven't gone through a ton. So I want to know for our listeners, was the point of this so that when she thinks about that exact same issue, that it will be lessened the next time? Is that the point of this exercise?
Yeah. So she said that she felt a little bit of a release, right? Which is really normal, because if this were to happen tomorrow, the exact same situation, and we hadn't done this today, she would be meeting that situation from the same emotional level that she was initially. Right. And so not that, again, not that it won't be distressing if it happens tomorrow, but you know, without being able to like really go into it, usually when we do this or when we can like fully transparently go through it, you know, when people start thinking about those feelings or thinking about what's going on in their body, a lot of times what happens is they're thinking about other memories, sometimes that have nothing to do with that. Yeah. And like, cause those things can like compound on each other. And totally. So it's almost like, you know, if, for an example, right? Like if you've been in 5 significant relationships in your life, right? And the first one you get cheated on and that feels awful. Okay. And then the second one you get cheated on and that feels awful. And it feels a little bit more awful because that's happened before and that feels familiar. And then the third time you get cheated on and that feels awful. And it feels even more awful because I hate this feeling. I know this feeling. I know what this feels like. And now it's like, well, then what's wrong with me? Like, I'm, you know, and like, then we start forming those patterns in our head of like, I must be flawed or whatever the case may be. This is just an example, but it's like, we add like those things add to each other over time. And so by the time you're in relationship number 5, if that happens again, it's not just about how hard it is in that relationship. It's about how hard it is in that relationship and all the other memories and feelings that like underlie what that feels like. And so that's really like, with brain spotting, it's like kind of like flushing that out, kind of, I mean, for lack of a better term, of, you know, again, it wouldn't be distressing if in relationship number 6, the same thing happened, but it may not be met with such a high level of heightened, like, you know, I can't handle this, or I'm incapable of being loved, or whatever it is that those inner cognitions are. You know, they might exist on some level, but it's not carrying that same intensity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So Lauren, my brain is currently flooded with questions, so I'm going to lob a few at you. Do you need your magic wand anymore? Because it is still up.
I just want to check in with Andrea real quick before I close it out, okay? If you think about that again, where we started, and look in that spot, does it come all right back up? Or what do you notice?
No. No. And it's so funny because when you were asking Morgan about what the point of this was, I started thinking and, you know, like obviously it's, I don't expect it to be as high right now, but I am curious because this is a recurring situation. I anticipate this happening again in the next tomorrow, maybe. Ooh. So I will report back to our listeners and to everyone on social media whether it intensified or not. So yes. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned on that. But let's see what Morgan's got to throw your way.
All right. All right. So the first question I have, this brain spotting that you just did with Andrea, does a therapist have to be certified specially for brain spotting specifically?
Yes.
Because
yes.
This is the first time that I've heard of it.
Training. So there's 4 levels. You have to be trained in it. I'm certified in it, which is another level higher. But yeah, there is a full process to go through when you're doing the training. You're doing brain spotting, like you are the subject a ton of times, as well as doing it on other people while it's being observed. You're watching, like, there's so much that is like being done to really understand it. So yeah, it's not really something that like I would recommend somebody just going and trying themselves necessarily, because just like Andrea, you know, experience, like you might not think it's going to be that intense, but it could be, to not have somebody there who's able to explain to you, wait, no, okay, this is normal, or like, let's like regulate a little bit, or whatever it is that we're trained to do in those moments, is an important piece of that. And additionally, like self-spotting is a whole thing that can be done, but that's something that there is even steps within that, that people can do brain spotting on themselves. I wouldn't recommend that without knowing anything about it, because a big part of healing and doing any sort of work is having someone there to like witness it with you and like hold that with you and validate that. So it that really is an important piece of it.
Okay. So my next question is, you know, going into trauma in your early career, I mean, that sounds about as fun as going into divorce law. So what brought you to that?
Oh man. Yeah. Well, okay. So I always wanted to be a counselor. My grandpa was a counselor. And then when I started looking at colleges and price tags and master's programs, I was like, yeah, I don't want to go to college for like 8+ years and pay a lot of money. So I don't think I'm going to do that. So I switched my major to criminal justice because I thought, well, it's kind of similar. You can like help people and like be a part of, you know, change. And also I don't have to go to school for 8 years. So I did that. I got an internship at the juvenile detention center. And I just, at the time, I mean, this was many years ago, but I personally was just so struck by how many of those kids that had done very bad things to be there had so much trauma in their past that really wasn't being addressed much. If it was, it was on a much smaller level. And I just kept feeling like, you know, how does anybody have behavior change without really even understanding where these behaviors are coming from? And so it just kind of like the universe was like, nope, like this is where your brain goes. Like this is what you want to do. So I did. I switched back to doing counseling. And then from there, I ended up working at an agency that worked both with juvenile sex offenders as well as victims and their family. So heavy, but like getting those perspectives and just really seeing, especially I think working with kids initially, just how much that stuff can impact them on, regardless of what was going on, just seeing it play out in so many different ways, or working with the families, how they experience their own trauma from what the trauma is that their kid was experiencing or whatever the case may be. So it was just very eye-opening. And also, I mean, just to see them actually making really positive changes and healing. I mean, I wouldn't have kept doing it if I didn't see that. And so it's extremely rewarding.
You know, it's interesting because there's so many correlations between that work and what we do in the divorce space, because and unfortunately sometimes there's crossover stuff. There's a lot of messed up reasons why people are finding themselves in the middle of the divorce process. And there's been a lot of abuse for a lot of people, and people are worried about their kids and themselves, and it's yucky. And Morgan wouldn't do what she does if she didn't see like a benefit in, you know, in the work. And I wouldn't do what we do together on this show if we didn't see that this is helping people. I think that the takeaway that I'm getting from this episode, and I hope that our listeners are getting the same one, is that whereas there's not a quick fix for trauma, there are some different techniques that you can do that's outside of the traditional talk therapy that might help you break through these walls that you're experiencing. Because if you have experienced trauma for years and years and years from different facets of your life, then you likely have some roadblocks. I certainly do. And if that wacky little magic wand brain spotting exercise showed us anything, is that there's some funky physiological stuff that goes on. And these exercises really can help us. So listeners, if something sparked your interest, the best thing to do is to learn more. We always talk about on this episode, on the show in general, how knowledge is so much power. Arm yourself with as much knowledge as possible. So with that, Lauren, tell everybody where they can find you on Instagram so they can do a full deep dive like we did on everything that you have to offer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm always posting info. My Instagram is Steadfast Counseling, all one word. And then my website, steadfastcounseling.com. I post a lot of blogs there. There's a lot of info there. And I really think like that is such a good place to start. Just understanding, okay, no, like what I experienced. Oh, wait, no, that is traumatic. Like yeah. My brain experienced it this way. I'm not just weak or crazy or whatever the case may be. Or even understanding like, oh, I've been in talk therapy for 10 years and I still get really anxious in these situations. Well, there's a scientific, physiological reason for that. So the education piece is really important and can be really validating. And yeah, I'm always posting stuff
on
there.
That mm-hmm. one day Morgan and I are going to be selling coffee mugs that say, no, you're not crazy. I mean, if that's not something mm-hmm. that people talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I understand that if somebody was interested in working with you virtually for these services, are you operating on a wait list right now? I know that you're like mm-hmm. pretty booked.
Yeah, I do have a wait list right now. I do have some things in the works for doing more like group type stuff or like virtual course type stuff. So if anybody's interested in that kind of thing, follow me and I'll be posting it whenever I get it up and moving. But yeah, so there will be opportunities. And then, you know, I'm licensed in the state of Illinois, so I'm kind of within my bounds of the state in that way. But there's also my website has a blog post all about how to find a therapist, how to find a specific type of therapist, and some tips around that too. Because I get a lot of questions about, you know, oh, I'm in New York, you know,
totally.
Can you help me or whatever. And I'm like, I always kind of link that blog post that I have because.
Well, we will make sure that we direct everybody there. And especially for our one listener in Honduras who might need some help, because I imagine if you're still a dedicated listener, you've probably experienced some shit. So we are going to direct everybody to getting the help and support that they need. Lauren, holy cow. I don't know whether to thank you or to say never come back because I cried again on our show. But this conversation was so, so interesting.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always love the opportunity to share about this.
Well, that was fun.
For you?
It was so much fun. That was easy. What the hell was that?
I don't know. You like went time traveling. You were on Mars. I don't even know what happened to you.
I don't even know what happened to me.
And now I'm sweating. Ceiling. There was a wand.
I don't want to. Yeah, that was not one of my finer moments, but I really have to say, and I know how you get about the woo woo stuff. That was weird. And I feel better.
What?
And I've been bugged by this thing that happened for like a while. So not for nothing. What the hell?
You know what though? Remember though, this is why we talk about even the woo-woo topics, because if it helps one person, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I don't know that I'll be looking at the ceiling. I would wave a magic wand though. So
probably won't. I think you have the wand. I'll look at the ceiling.
That's right. And if it helps you and you feel better, that's what we're here for. That's why we're doing this. But she was wonderful.
She was awesome. She was awesome and a total wealth of knowledge. But here's what I want to say in regards to what happened earlier. It's not unlike what goes on for people in this divorce process. There's going to be moments where you are looking at the ceiling, praying for daylight, and crying in a public place. And that's going to suck.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, you're going to be okay. Like, I'm not still in that place of falling apart in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners.
Whoa.
No.
You're so together.
No, I'm so together now. So I think that, you know, let that be a lesson to everyone that you kind of just have to roll with it, whatever it is. You know, as we said earlier in the show, we try to help people get through this mess. We encourage you to take breaks, take a walk. listen to a show, scroll on social media if you need to, fake dopamine, real dopamine. We're your dealer for it all, because it's going to take a little bit of everything to get you through this.
No, that's totally true. We always say this, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Remember that. It's a marathon. So you're going to have some days where the day is horrible and you just need to start over tomorrow, and that's okay. And some days you're going to be just taking it hour by hour, and that's also okay. And we're here to tell you that all of these things are acceptable.
That's absolutely right. And then there are going to be some days where you're standing next to a bar, waiting in front of a bar, helping a lady fold towels and make your cocktail. So you know what? You got to roll with it all. Speaking of rolling with it, if you need someone to roll through all of this with you, we're your girls. That's exactly why we do this show. Go and join our private community on Facebook. We've got a whole crew of people. We're about 200 strong, and we're rolling in the thick of it with each other all the time. Stay tuned for people in the group, because we are now offering exclusive bonus episodes with some of our very special guests who are actually popping in the group and answering listener questions and all kinds of fun stuff. So that is going to be the place you want to be. And at this point in time, friends, it is still completely free to be a member. So go to the link in our show notes and join the How Not to Suck at Divorce community.
And if you don't want to be in the community, just leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear from you. So, and no DM goes unanswered. So if you have something that's pending, or you need a referral, or have a question, we will answer it. Don't worry about that. Remember, divorce is hard, but we're here for you. You've got this, and we've got you.
For more support, please join our private communities on Facebook and Patreon. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast is executively produced by Andrea Rappaport.